Now, if you'll turn to page 208 for the Canticle of Zechariah. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to set the chosen people free. The Lord has raised up for us a mighty Savior from the house of David. Through the holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
Show mercy to our forebears, and remember the holy covenant.
This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham,
to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship without fear, holy and righteous in the Lord's sight, all the days of our life.
And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way,
to give God's people knowledge and salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us,
to shine on those who dwell in the darkness, to shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace.
Our second reading for this morning comes from the book of the prophet Malachi. Now, my guess is if you think about the lectionary throughout the church year, it's very rare to hear Malachi, and that if I pushed you a little harder, you might even be able to come up with the gist of this passage, simply because we seem to hear it every Christmas time, every Advent. So, if you'd like to turn to Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, you can find that in your pew Bible on page 838 in the Hebrew Bible, and you'll find these words. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now, our epistle lesson this morning comes from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. It can be found on page 185 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As you may well know, the Canticle of Zechariah that we set as a responsive reading actually comes from the book of the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. And a little further on, we have sort of the fruit of Zechariah's speech, which is what happens with his son. His son is John the Baptist. So let us turn to the gospel lesson, Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. You can find this in your pew Bible on page 56, and you'll hear the rest of the story. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, clearly, Advent is about preparing for the arrival of the Messiah. It is a time of expectation, anticipation, recitation, annunciation, and preparation. Truth be told, the serious Christian has a tough time to wait patiently for the arrival of the baby Jesus, just as tough as it is for kids to wait patiently for the arrival of Santa Claus. But we must wait creatively and prepare ourselves for Jesus' birth and for his second coming. This amazing time of preparation calls us to remember many historic elements of our salvation history, several of which are referenced in today's scripture readings. Often, passages from the Hebrew Bible are used in the New Testament and are given a new interpretation for a new context. In a similar manner, we are called to understand and discern God's meaning and purpose for our own lives in this 21st century context as we prepare for the birth of our Savior. Malachi says that God has promised to send a messenger to help make the priests of the temple in Jerusalem more pure and more holy. The images from Malachi are vivid, but perhaps not as familiar as other biblical images. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Well, as you may well know, gold and silver were mined from the earth in veins surrounded by worthless rock, just as they are today. It took a very hot fire over several days to melt down the precious metals and allow the impurities to be burned off. The other image, the image of Fuller's soap, may not be quite so familiar. It turns out Fuller's soap refers to the process of cleaning, bleaching, and beating wool into shape before it could be made into garments. Malachi is promising that God, through this messenger, will make the priests purer and holier, and in turn, the laity that worship God in the temple, so that their offerings will be righteous and pleasing to God. The people of the New Testament times reinterpreted this passage from Malachi to mean the coming of God's messenger in the person of John the Baptist. In a similar way, Luke describes the mission of John the Baptist in direct reference to Isaiah. When Luke says, "As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Well, in its original context, Isaiah was telling the people that God would provide a straight and easy path for the chosen people who had been exiled in Babylon as they returned to their rightful homes in Judea. This was figurative language, but it was understood that God would save God's people and make this divine salvation absolutely clear to all who were paying attention. In the canticle of Zechariah from Luke, it is very clear that John's father, Zechariah, understood what his son would do even when he was just a little baby. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. As we hear in this week's reading from Luke, as well as in next week's continuation, the adult John left the wilderness and went into all the region around the Jordan River, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John baptized people in water and told them that the Messiah was coming soon. They must repent of their sins and they must back it up with action. John told them, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Well, this was confusing to those who heard John the Baptist preach on the banks of the Jordan River. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. Well, you might well consider that all of this is simply an academic exercise in biblical history. But I believe that it has direct impact on how each of us ought to prepare for the coming of Jesus. From the significance of the biblical images, it is clear that God is quite serious about how you and I are to prepare ourselves to be ready for our Savior. The refiner's fire burns hot as it purifies gold and silver. All impurities are burned off. Raw wool is subject to cleaning, to bleaching, to beating into shape that is involved in the process of fuller's soap. Valleys are filled, mountains and hills are made low, crooked ways are made straight, rough ways are made smooth, so that all flesh may see the wonderful salvation of God. We are called to repent of our sins and to promise to lead a new life in Christ. We are called to bear fruit that bears witness to our repentance. Our actions speak loudly, doing our jobs to the best of our abilities, sharing coats and food with the homeless and the helpless, openly and graphically sharing the love of Christ. These are the actions that testify to our repentance and to the amazing love of God. God is offering to each of us the greatest gift we could ever hope to receive: God's mercy, God's unconditional love, and eternal life in Jesus Christ. What an incredible Christmas present. I echo the words of Paul to the church at Philippi, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. O come, Emmanuel, indeed." Amen.